A downtown vitality report commissioned by the Walton Family Foundation that was released earlier this year shows housing prices are going up in Northwest Arkansas. And nowhere is that more obvious than Bentonville, where residential per square foot sales prices have gone up by more than 200% in the last 6 years. The report also pointed to a shortage of multifamily housing, and on top of that, figures from the Northwest Arkansas Regional Planning Commission indicate nearly 30% of Northwest Arkansas residents spend 30% or more of their income per month on housing. As the conversation about housing changes with growth in the region, there will be public input meetings held next week to discuss a vision for housing in Northwest Arkansas. Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek spoke with Liz Alcina, the senior program officer with the personal philanthropy group at the Walton Family Foundation, about what we can expect.
Coming up, there's a few public input hearings about housing issues in Northwest Arkansas. The Walton Family Foundation has sort of taken up that issue itself. Can you tell us what the broader goal is of taking this cause up?
So I think this inquiry started about a year ago, and it actually started with kind of a gut check, where we're constantly thinking about quality of life and have made considerable investments in this region to maintain a quality of life and maintain that access of opportunity. Within that, our family members started to have a kind of a gut check around we're feeling a little bit of a housing crunch. And this was a hunch. So what began as a hunch turned into an internal research inquiry, and then that revealed some really interesting data and some really interesting trends that we wanted to dig deeper into. And the foundation's Downtown Vitality Report looks at quality of life across a number of spectrums, but even within that started to see some challenges around housing that we were already, as a kind of a gut reaction, were kind of feeling ourselves. So in January, we had actually commissioned a full housing report that would dig a little bit deeper than some of the initial research we were doing internally.
Can you discuss some of the data that you sort of found that propelled this study and this report?
We started to take a look at our housing authorities and looking at the demand that lived there. We were taking a look at the same time around things like median income and also average income, which are different things. And they kind of tell a little bit of a different story. And starting to sort of layer that in, and then also looking at just availability. And that availability, it's different by where you are in the region. And I think it also depends if you're in our core downtowns, where I think we all kind of inherently know there's a big crunch, and which the Downtown Vitality Report also really, I thought, explored it beautifully. But then how does that expand into our next kind of core areas? And so that was some of the initial work that we did internally, and that was, you know, things that you can readily take a look at. And then based on that, we thought, okay, this is worth digging a little bit deeper, but bringing in some external expertise to support that, which is when we engaged our grantee partners in this process.
So you did bring up that median income and average income are two different things. Can you just go into that a little bit more so that we all understand that?
So I think an average income will, for thinking mathematically here, and I'm not a math whiz, but I'll try my best to describe it. An average is really looking at your very lowest and your very highest and looking at it together, right? And the median is looking at the center. So it's really important to see those. So what we were seeing is that our median income can be rising, perhaps because things are pulling, incomes are moving up. But then what about the very lowest and sort of that bottom end? And so that's where I think your average can actually tell a very different story. It can tell a slightly different story, a more nuanced story that helps you to dig deeper. And that's where I think bringing in our experts like Enterprise Community Partners, which is our lead grantee in this work, they are a national leader in the conversations around housing. But in order to make sure that it was a community-embedded process, we actually made two additional grants to the Northwest Arkansas Regional Planning Commission and also to the University of Arkansas Center for Business and Economic Research. I always remember in acronyms. And so that's because we wanted to make sure that this was a community-embedded process, that we had key stakeholders on the ground that were really informing this work, and that it wasn't just some wonderful, fabulous institution like Enterprise that's based out of D.C. coming in and sort of telling us what they thought without having some real community reaction and input.
As that quality of life here grows, a couple things are happening, right? People are moving in, so prices go up as people kind of seek that quality of life. So that affects some of the lower income earners, correct?
Absolutely. There's lots of different factors that I think factor into our quality of life, but housing is the one that's most intersectional to me. It really can determine the kind of quality of life that you have from your education resources that you have, the community amenities that you have access to even just opportunities around perception. Some people don't even live, you know, within their own small neighborhood. Why is that? And so housing, it's just so acutely related to quality of life there. So it was just something we had to explore more.
And when we do talk about housing in the context of this report, what kind of housing are we talking about?
So we're looking at things really broadly. We're looking at what are the community needs. So we're layering a couple of factors in. We're taking a look at, first of all, the first part here is just helping us understand what the market is like right now. And then I think that's the first part of the report, which is really the study portion. And in order to do that, there's lots of great data that's available. It's also taking a look at current housing policies, and it's also having community meetings. We're having focus groups as part of this process, one-on-one interviews as well. And then we're also having the public meetings, which are happening next week, and they're actually going to be two public meetings. This is the first set of them to really inform our data gathering process. You know, that's sort of the first layer of this report. And then taking a look at sort of the planning portion of this, which is to come, and that's when we'll have the second set of public meetings, is once we kind of layer in this is what we have and this is what we see, then it becomes a question of, well, knowing what the gaps and the opportunities are already here, how do we move forward in a way that fulfills community needs?
Tell us a little bit more about the public meetings they'll be in each of the four major cities along I-49.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about them because I've been taking a look at the agenda, and so I've had a little bit of input there, and what I love is that they're going to be extremely interactive. So I think we're going to spend a little bit of time sharing early data. So we'll share what we know so far. Our data is still being gathered through the end of July, probably finalizing that in August, but we'll share what we've got. And then we're really dividing up into smaller groups in order to really hear from each individual person. I think one of the items on the agenda I was looking at is that, and I think this is just a really great way to capture the public meeting intent, is that we're giving community members the opportunity to kind of complete the phrase, I believe housing in Northwest Arkansas should be. And so that's really the impetus of these public meetings, is to get at that. And so we'll have it in sort of small group settings because not everyone's comfortable being in a big group and speaking out in that way. So very interactive is the way I'd summarize it.
So as people are considering coming to these meetings, one thing I suppose they can think about is how they would fill in that phrase that you just mentioned. What else should they be thinking about as they're getting ready to come and provide some sort of feedback?
I think, you know, and I'm approaching these myself as a Bentonville resident, right? And so I think, and something that might be helpful to think about is, what does housing determine for me personally? Think about its relationship to your commute time. Think about its relationship to the amount you spend on gas. Think of it as, oh, gee, I really wish this was closer to a trail or had more trail access, or that maybe, in, you know, had greater connectivity in terms of transportation. Gee, I really wish I could walk to a grocery store or had those kinds of opportunities. Or, gee, I really wish I was closer to this school or had access to this kind of school and this kind of access. So I think what I hope that folks are coming in with is the realization that housing determines a lot. And think about what it means to you personally. And to think about it through a multifaceted portion and then bring that to the meeting. Tell us what you really feel.
Right. And I'm guessing having the meetings in each of these cities, the point is to get all those points of view because we're all the same region, but we're still different in what our needs are.
Absolutely. And I think the other opportunity is that we're, of course, thinking city by city, but we're also thinking regionally, which I think is really important. It's going to take a lot of effort to really move this forward, and it's going to have to really be a regional effort, I would think. But we will also have some city snapshots, too. I mean, the data can be stratified in that way, so there will be things that feel that will be about the region. There will be data sharing that's regional, but that there's also going to be some that's like, hey, by the way, in Springdale, here's something really interesting that we saw, for example, or in Rogers, or et cetera.
Is there a way to summarize sort of the regional factors that have come up in the last 5 years? That are driving this conversation more so than before? I think the impression is that Northwest Arkansas for a long time was just seen as always an affordable place to live. And for the first time, I think we're contending with the fact that it might not always be that way.
Yeah, and I think the opportunity for us here is actually to get ahead of this conversation in a way that other cities haven't. Just on a personal note, I moved here from New York City. And when I moved here, it was really interesting that I thought, oh, man, I'm going to find housing in a snap. And based on where I wanted to live. And I didn't. It took some effort. And so that was just a personal experience, but I can only imagine what it's like for others. And so I think this is about layering, accommodating and lifting up all of our communities that are already here, but also really projecting mindfully about the fact that this is a region that's growing at 3 times the national average, which is extraordinary. And how do we get ahead of that if we're seeing that there's even a small challenge now? Maybe it's a small challenge right now. We still don't have the data, so I don't want to speculate entirely, but we know there's some challenge just kind of by a gut reaction. But how do we get ahead of this so we aren't in the same place that some other cities are, that where it's kind of too late to be helpful?
So after this study and this report are done, what is the ultimate goal to get it from paper to something that's actually real? And maybe that's a little bit too early to talk about that because all those results aren't back yet and they won't be for a little while, but just sort of broadly, I suppose.
I think one of the things we didn't talk about is that the planning portion of this work is also being informed by a 21-member housing committee. And that's a cross-sector of different kinds of stakeholders. And they are really helping to shape the plan. So the second phase of the public meetings will be an opportunity to share, hey, here's sort of what we've based on the data, here's what we would recommend. What do you think? But we're also doing that internally already, vetting it very heavily with our internal housing committee. And so that's really the group that we're looking at them as both advocates, incredible thought partners in this work, as we're trying to create something that is feasible in some way that we could, that could be something that takes root and helps us grow. But to the extent that it will be implemented, I think remains to be seen. But we would certainly hope that it could be.
And when we talk about housing, you know, we're talking about various members of the community who are important. So, you know, firefighters, teachers, nurses, all those people that do need to live somewhere. So why is this important for the Walton Family Foundation?
I think it's because we're deeply committed to the quality of life that exists in this region. Our prior investments, I think, have really shown that and demonstrated it. And I think what we're finding is that housing is a huge indicator of the kind of quality of life that you can lead. So this is a really natural, I think, exploration for us. And one that, you know, we're learning a lot about our region in this process, the quality of conversations that we've had, the folks that really care about this work, and then also hearing from folks that that have different kinds of opinions. That's incredibly valuable. And so it's actually been a really privileged conversation for us to have these kinds of conversations with community members, and one we're really grateful for.
I was thinking about housing, the crunch we're in. So it's not only an affordability crunch, but it's also just a supply and demand crunch. So I was wondering if we could just explore that a little bit further.
Yeah, and I think you're right on point. I think we all know that there just isn't enough, right? And we have incredible developers that are trying to meet our demands. And so I think one of the things that we're looking at in the report, you know, is that we're trying to understand the health of our ecosystem. And health is really defined by a couple of layered factors. It's determined by availability, which is huge. It's also determined by the type of housing that we're building and is available. And also about that affordability that's relative to household needs. So we're really layering all of those factors in. Demand is one. It's supply and demand is a huge factor, but there are other things that we're considering as well.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us about these meetings that are coming up.
We are very much looking forward to hearing from you, and that you is really for our community. We invite you, we welcome you, and we hope we'll see you there.
That was Liz Alcina, the Senior Program Officer with the Personal Philanthropy Group at the Walton Family Foundation, speaking with Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek. The first meeting will be Monday in Fayetteville at the City Council Chambers. On Tuesday, there will be a meeting in Bentonville at the Community Center. Wednesday, a meeting in Rogers at the Public Library. And on Thursday next week, there will be a meeting in Springdale at the Shiloh Museum. All of the meetings begin at 5:30. The study and report are funded by Walton Family Foundation grants from Alice Stewart and Tom Walton.